Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
I've been speaking a lot in the Old Testament lately, especially with Elijah and Elijah. And today I'm going to continue. Have you ever read something in the Word of God? And I've had this experience with this, where I've read something that didn't quite... I didn't think it was right. I thought something was weird what I read and all, but I never took the time to check it out. Well, after reading during my regular reading and while I was gone, I decided to finally find something that's been bothering me in Scripture. And we're going to talk about that this morning. And it's found here in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah says unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and rended them into two pieces. This has been a portion of Scripture that has bothered me a little bit. What bothered me is the fact that Elijah asked for a double portion of the Spirit. And I thought that was being greedy. That's what always went through my mind as I went through. I said, I got to find out what this means. Why? How did he have the nerve to ask to get a double portion of the Spirit, even though it was a good thing? I just felt like that was being selfish. And so I had the opportunity while I was at my mom's. I did a lot of studying up there, and I went through this. And it turned out to be a tremendous blessing to me. And in a nutshell, Elijah was asking to carry on the torch for God. And we're going to examine how that plays out. We're going to look how this works. Now, let me give you a little background. Okay, Elijah knows God's going to take him to heaven. He's not going to die. He knows that's going to happen. He's with 50 other prophets, including Elijah. And they're going. And so he finally tells them, stay behind. But Elijah would not adhere to that. He says, no, I'm following you to the end. But the other 50 prophets stopped. And more or less, the best way I can describe this, they stopped at a hill. Maybe a small mountain, whatever. And then they had the valley and the Jordan's down here. And they're going down to the Jordan. And Elijah takes his mantle, hits the river there. And it stops and parts. And they walk across on dry ground into the other side. And then the river goes back to flowing again. And what happens on the other side. As far as we can tell, the 50 prophets saw some of this. Now, whether they saw all of it, we don't know, or whether they saw the horsemen or any of that, we don't know for sure. We can speculate that they may have seen it. And why we think they saw some of it is the fact that when Elijah comes back, he parts Jordan, and they happen to see that part. And then there's a part at the end where the 50 prophets want to go looking for Elijah. Because they think, well, he went up in a whirlwind, but what's a tornado generally do in a whirlwind? It takes it up, spits, throws it out. So they're thinking he's laying someplace somewhere. Let's go find out. Elijah says, no, 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 he went to heaven. But they wanted to find him, so they went looking and never did find him, obviously. So that's kind of what takes place. Now, Elijah determined that he was going to be there to the end. And he had served his master, Elijah, for 10 years up to this point. And he wasn't about to leave him. And I got to thinking, you know, had he listened to Elijah, he wouldn't have been there to receive that blessing that God ended up giving to him, which we'll discuss here in a minute. And I think that was that if he'd have taken the easy way and stayed back with the 50 prophets, he would have never gotten it. But he was determined to stay to the end. So what did Elijah ask for? And this is the part that turned out to be a blessing for me. Now, he asked for a double portion of his spirit, of Elijah's spirit. What it is, well, basically what he was asking for was the blessings of the firstborn. Now, I'm going to discuss that with you. In the Jewish family, the firstborn was always special, especially if it was a man, because they were always looking for Christ's return. And they knew that it would be of a Jewish woman. Well, always the firstborn ended up ruling the family. So the firstborn was special. Now, they may have had other brothers and sisters. So what would happen is there was two blessings. And you can, by the way, if you ever want to take the time to read it in detail, Isaac and Joseph, you see it in detail about the two blessings there. But all the Jewish families got two blessings. The firstborn did. Number one, it was the physical blessing of all the stuff that they owned. Number two, it was the spiritual blessing. Now, what he was asking for here was for the spiritual blessing, not for the physical blessing. Elijah had been with Elijah for 10 years, and he felt like, I mean, he was his servant. And he became like a father to him. And he had 50 prophets waiting for him that's been walking around with him. And Elijah was saying, treat me as a firstborn. I want the blessing of the firstborn. I want more than what the other 50 would have, just like if it was a family. And that's what he was asking for. This ended up being a blessing for me because it made me realize he wasn't being selfish. He wasn't being greedy, because that was my first impression. How could he, you know, it's one thing to ask and pray to God for things. But it's another thing. To me, it would be like, Lord, I need a car. I really want a Lamborghini. That's the way I felt this was taking place here. Not just praying for to continue. And why not just say, Lord, I want to take care of Elijah's ministry. I want to continue. Why did he ask for a double portion? Well, now I understand it was because he felt he was part of the family. And he wanted the right of the firstborn. So that turned out to be pretty interesting. So, and the second part is, he's not asking for a materialistic blessing. He's only asking for the spiritual blessing, which I think was really neat. Now think about Solomon. That was a great example. Solomon became king. He was really young. God comes to him and says, okay, Solomon, what can I give you? I'll give you anything. And instead of asking for riches and all this stuff, he says, give me wisdom. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this with Solomon, but, you know, he had to have some wisdom to ask for that. But God says, you're not just going to be wise, but you're going to be the wisest man that ever lives on this planet Earth. Probably ended up being the richest man that ever lived on the planet Earth. And so God gave him everything. But to me, that's just kind of the same thing with Elijah. He's not asking for all this materialistic stuff. He just wants the blessing of that firstborn. He wants to continue the ministry of Elijah. Elijah. I always get that mixed up, so forgive me. So I thought this was pretty interesting, the whole thing. And the fact that even the prophets may have actually witnessed some of this, I thought was pretty interesting. So to sum this up, Elijah was asking to be his successor. He wanted to continue the ministry. And Elijah asked, what he asked for was a problem. He says, you ask a hard thing. You know why? Elijah couldn't give it to him. This was something only God could give. Even though Elijah was as powerful. I mean, we got it written in the Bible. Look at all the things that that man did. Can you imagine being up there with all those false prophets and everything, and they're crying and trying and cutting themselves and doing everything to get their God to come down and burn the sacrifice and all. And to think that you have enough faith that the moment you call down from God to do it, it happened that instant. I mean, and to walk to the Jordan, take his mantle, hit the Jordan parts right away. That takes faith and trust. And knowing God, you're in God's will to do it. And here, Elijah wants the same thing. And all. But he's asking for something Elijah can't give him. And he says, okay. Now, this is the part I haven't taken in-depth study on to see why Elijah says, nevertheless. He uses it, nevertheless. This is a hard thing, but nevertheless. If you see me go up, you'll get it. Now, did God speak to him that moment? Doesn't tell us. So he knows. He says, if you'll see it, you'll get it. So Elijah asked for it, and what ends up happening? What did he get? Well, he asked for a hard thing, and God blessed him and gave it to him. He sees his master go up into heaven in the whirlwind. At first, I used to think, I don't know how many of you thought about this after you read it. I always thought he went in the chariot of fire up to heaven, but he doesn't. The whirlwind takes him up. Do you know what the fire, the horsemen in the fire separated the two? Is what that did. That was the whole reason there, to keep them from being taken, both of them being taken up, separated them. Then the whirlwind came, and the whirlwind took them up. So I thought that was interesting. Now, what do we ask for? And how does this work in our lives, and how can we apply what we are learning here in this portion of blessing? You know, we spend a lot of time asking God for things. And none of that's wrong. That's what we should be doing. We asked God, we had prayer today, and all of that was valid prayer, you know, for people that are dying, cancer, for things that we're trying to get done in our houses and all, people we hope to see come to know the Lord. But Elijah only wanted spiritual blessings, and I want to stress that today. How often do we ask God for spiritual growth in our lives? How many times in our prayer do we say, God, I want my faith to increase? How many times do you pray before you get here? Or even after you get here, before the sermon, do you say, Lord, teach me something? It doesn't matter who's in this pulpit. And I'm afraid too many people are waiting for people like, well, let's say, use Ken Hay. He's a great speaker. He's a great thing. I mean, he's been around a long time. And, oh, I'll get blessed from him, but I'm not going to be blessed by Glenn. See? You know, or whoever else might speak here. Well, I don't like the way he, or he speaks too long, and that turns me off. And I've had people say that to me, not just here, but other places. You know, I don't speak long, so that you don't have that problem anyhow. But and I've learned one thing in my life, and that is no matter who's speaking, no matter how bad or good it is, there's something there for me. You'll have to forgive me. I had some skin removed this last week. That's so I can't be out there. But my glasses keep falling down on the sore, and I got to keep putting it back up again. But we need to be concerned about our spiritual growth individually. We need to really be in prayer about our spiritual growth. Technically, we need to ask God for a double portion. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this. But without faith, it is impossible. Now remember the word impossible to please him or to please God. For he that cometh must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that, and here's the other key word, diligently seek him. Not just a matter of coming here, to be here on a Sunday and say, well, this is expected me to be here. It's important that you pray and ask God to teach you something while you're here. And it's not just important. You know, some of you write notes. Some of you memorize and follow and read the scripture and do all that stuff. But what good does it do you when you walk outside and don't apply anything that you've learned? You got to be real careful about that. You got to make sure God speak, not just speaking to you, but you apply what God's teaching you. How can you apply it to your life? I am a firm believer, not necessarily a whole sermon might be a blessing to me. You know, when I'm listening to somebody else. But there's always something in every sermon for me personally. Always. And if it's that way with me, I believe it's that way with each of you. And so you come here expecting a blessing. You come here in prayer that God will help you grow closer to him. Be stronger in faith. Did Elijah have the faith to ask? He sure did, didn't he? He wasn't bashful about that. I want a double portion. Now, he was asking for more than the other prophets would be by virtue of being the firstborn. He was applying for that towards him. We must grow in grace, and this process must be something to continue. It's just like eating. If we stop eating, well, eventually, long enough, we're going to wither away and die. And if you don't feed yourself in faith and keep growing, you're going to go backwards. You stop coming to service, you're going to go backwards. You stop praying at home, you're going to go backwards. You stop reading the scripture, you're going to go backwards. It's an ongoing thing. There's no plateau. You reach and you stay there. You've got to have that continuous growth. And this teaches me that we should be asking God for faith to do His will. That should be the most important part of our life. Look in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. And it says, "Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.'" Now he's talking, the father was talking to Jesus Christ. He was trying to get his son healed. But what the prayer was here is what our prayer should be. "Lord, I believe, but help what I don't believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to grow so I can totally trust in you and know you can accomplish whatever you want me to do." Then it becomes, when it becomes the most important thing in our lives, this is what happens in verse Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is, to me, extremely important. You know how many times, and listen, I've done the same thing. Read over something, read over something, read over something, and it never clicks. And then one day you read that scripture and all of a sudden the whole thing opens up to you. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Notice it says first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. Growing. What? Our prayer requests that we prayed. Our needs that we're praying for. If you read the whole chapter 6, it will actually talk about our daily needs. All that stuff will be supplied to us. But the key is, first, we got to put God first and seek His kingdom and go after Him, grow in faith, and get closer to Him. That's got to be number one before He's going to answer your prayer about a job or about money or about healing somebody or about helping somebody or about somebody coming to know Christ as their Savior. First of all, the kingdom must be first. Coming to know Christ as your Savior's got to be first. After you get saved, then living and growing in the Lord. So our number one thing as Christians should be growing. Am I stronger today than I was a week ago or 2 weeks ago? We got to keep evaluating ourselves. We got to keep thinking double portion. That's what I want you to think about when you leave here today. I got to keep asking God for a double portion. God, help my unbelief. Going and growing in God's grace. And the rest will be added unto you. And let's face it. Now, interesting. And I'll probably read about it in just a moment. When Elijah went back, he was by himself. And when he struck that mantle at the Jordan, this is what he said. "Where is the God of Elijah?" Now, I thought that was interesting. Now, see, he saw the exiting, and he said you were going to get it, but he hadn't applied anything yet. And when he went to the Jordan, this was the seal. "Where is the God of Elijah?" Now, it happened. What happened the moment that happened? I bet his faith grew big. It worked. He trusted. He did what was said. And now it actually worked. I'll read something, just a commentary in just a moment. You know, we may ask a hard thing, but it's always within God's power to answer what we ask, no matter how hard it might be. Always we should be praying in God's will. That should be, not even a thought about that. But another interesting thing happened here. When God took him up in a whirlwind, Eliza cries, "My father, my father," and he wasn't talking to God. His relationship with Elijah was that close. And he got to see something that none of us will ever see. Two people went to heaven without dying. Anybody remember who the other one was?
Enoch.
Right. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I think about this. Could I ever have that type of faith? That God would be so pleased with me that he would take me to heaven? How about Job? I'm reading through Job right now. Not only everybody complained to Job, his friends. He did something wrong. His wife nagged him about it. But he never gave in. He doubted now. Well, I say doubted. He said he wished he was never lived, you know. But he never... what's the best word? I'm not sure what the best word to say. He never accused God of his problem. Elijah had a great relationship for 10 years. And when his close person, the relationship he had with Elijah, went up there, he cries, "My father, my father." So the question is, do we have a good relationship with our God? After Elijah was taken up into heaven, this is what a commentator said, and I thought this was really puts it in perspective. Elijah took Elijah's mantle and dared to trust God for the power to do the impossible. It was one thing to cross the Jordan with Elijah, but it's a whole nother step by faith by himself. And then you trust the Lord God of Elijah. You don't need Elijah anymore. When he crossed the first time, he needed Elijah. The second time, he didn't. And that's why he said to the Lord, "Where is the God of Elijah?" Now, he had to trust specifically to God himself, not to Elijah, which he's been following all that time, that was doing all the miracles and all that. We must be careful not to depend on preachers or any other person of great faith. We have to grow in faith individually. We need to grow, and it's got to be a weekly growth. And you're not going to grow unless you're getting something out of Scripture. I always pray that not only do you receive through the power of the Holy Spirit something, but that I, through the Holy Spirit, gives it to you. It requires work on both of our sides. And besides that, sometimes I just feel that I get the biggest blessing out of preparing the sermons than you get receiving it sometimes. Because this, to me, was a tremendous blessing to me to see what he was really asking for and how unselfish he really was and how he wanted to continue to work. To me, it was tremendous. We need to step up with faith, looking to God to part the rivers of life for us. And we're going to come across a lot of rivers that we need departing to cross. Whether it's financial, whether it's someone coming to know Christ, whether it's sickness. Hey, when you get my age, everybody's dying. That's all I keep going to is funerals. You know? And I got to admit, when most of the people I'm going to funerals are younger than me, it starts getting me down a little bit. And I have actually said this a lot. Why me? Why is God keeping me and everybody else that's younger than me having their legs replaced, having their hips replaced, having this, having cancer? People don't want to live and die and all that. And the way God protects me on the road and all, and coming back. And I just praise God a lot. And so we got to be careful. We need to step out by faith and trust God when he leads and teaches us a way to go. When God opens the door for us. When I came down here to go to college, to go into ministry, this type of ministry was not on my list of things to do. I left my motorcycles back with my brother and told him to sell them. And I never thought I'd ever be back on a motorcycle. So I just assumed I'd be an evangelist or in camp work or something. I didn't know what it was going to be. And yet God brings me in something I didn't even think I would be doing ever again. And yet, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. God has been so good to me. I would even think our first year's budget, our whole budget for the whole year was $12,000. Try living on $12,000 a year. Now I counted going to the rallies and everything. So obviously we didn't get any money, huh?
Not now.
When God opens a door for us, sometimes we don't understand. And I didn't. I had no idea. Matter of fact, I remember Tom Gillespie coming up to me and telling me, I knew a year ago God wanted you in the ministry doing this, but I didn't know. I'll never forget him saying that to me. But see, you open the door, you keep going through these doors, whatever door it might be for you in your life. And you just trust God, and you end up getting the mantle, and you hit it down there, and just say, where's the God of the Bible? The one that I've been learning about and learn to trust in him. And it's a process. But we got to continue to keep growing so we can get stronger to fulfill what God wants us to do in our lives. Each of you have different direction, different things that God wants you to do. And so if you want God to work in your life, you got to increase your faith and then watch God work in your life as you live. You need to dare to ask God for a double portion. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.